But it's like the thinking in binaries. It's this old story. And so I think it would be like a good thing to also hear, to sort of scratch the surface and to say, where is actually the misunderstanding? I would like to know. And how can it be determined really so that it does justice to the music and not serves only to discredit some people and credit others.
Qu'on le mentionne, et que de toute façon vous le savez probablement déjà, on a décidé de ne pas vous le dire. Donc, on ne vous redira pas que pour se protéger de la COVID-19, il faut se laver les... On ne répétera pas encore une fois qu'il faut porter un... Et surtout, qu'il faut garder nos... avec les autres. Vous le savez, c'est la meilleure façon de combattre le virus, même lorsqu'on est vacciné. On continue de se protéger. Un message du gouvernement du Québec.
This is If You Got Ears. Today on the show, The Sound of Conspiracy.
Whose song is that remembered? At random serpentine, through fatty coils emerging, some other thought is thinking. This light shines above the houses on the ground. This illumination visited upon the whole land. Unmarked helicopters hovering. The Lord is coming soon. Here comes the supercopter, here comes the noise it makes. The demon was an idea, the demon is awake. Well, scratch mark left across the surface of your mind. This hour now upon us, the hour has now arrived. Unmarked helicopters hovering. The Lord is coming soon. Unmarked helicopters hovering. They said it was a weather balloon. I know the truth. I know the whole shebang. I know the names of men they had to hang. I let her out the trunk. I heard what she said of them. They come to drag her through the double M. It goes black, 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 black and blacker. It goes black, 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 black and blacker. It goes black. Unmarked helicopters hovering. The Lord is coming soon. Unmarked helicopters hovering. They said it was a weather balloon. It was a weather balloon. It was a weather balloon.
Hi, this is If You Got Ears on CKUT. My name is Gordon. Today on the show, conspiracies. This is ostensibly an experimental music show. This is kind of a first, an unusual thing for me to be playing a rock track, soul-coughing song called Unmarked Helicopters from Songs in the Key of X, an old X-Files album that came out, in the 90s. Today, though, things about conspiracies, real conspiracies, conspiracy theories, shortwave number stations, the unexplained, is the Earth flat, as much as we can, we will be playing experimental music, but also finding our way through these topics. We start with the show that I originally wanted to do, which was I wanted to do a whole show of music from 70s conspiracy movies, because boy, there's a lot of them. And the origins of this should be reasonably obvious, right? All of Watergate was 72. Well, the Watergate break-in was 72, and then Nixon didn't resign until 74. So there was a good solid 2 years where you're hearing little more than how the U.S. government is nefariously controlling things, and the White House is corrupt, and da-da-da. These things all sound familiar, right? But boy, there were a lot of movies after that. Some of which were early 80s, but mostly contained in the 70s. Invasion of the Body Snatchers, Boys from Brazil, Parallax View. You could even stick in like Chinatown or China Syndrome, all this kind of stuff. So let's start with stuff from 70s conspiracy movies. There's a couple of composers that seem to specialize in this. I mean, Jerry Goldsmith is one of them, so arguably he turned up just because he turns up everywhere. Another guy named David Shire, who did a bunch of them, including All the President's Men. So we'll start with a little bit of that. And then he also did The Conversation, the Coppola film about a wiretapper from 1974. So we'll start with a little bit of music from All the President's Men, and then we'll hear a little bit of clips from The Conversation.
Thank you. an article in here about the convention. It mentions your name.
Are you?
Yeah, you're one of the notables who's going tomorrow night. Did you know that?
Yeah, I told him I'd be there.
Listen. Among those preeminent in the field expected to attend are Hal Lipsett and Harry Call from San Francisco. Kenneth Sperry will speak on surveillance and the law. Wait a minute. Listen to this. Wait a minute. Also attending will be William P. Moran of Detroit, Michigan.
Since when did William P. Moran of Detroit, Michigan become preeminent in the field?
Oh, he's very big there. You want some coffee? He's the guy that told Chrysler that Cadillac was getting rid of its fins. It was a while ago, but it was a big thing at the time.
December 2nd, 1 p.m., shopping bag, Unit A. December 2nd, 1 p.m., parabolic, Unit B. December 2nd, 1 p.m., City of Paris, Unit C.
He's already got everything.
Doesn't need anything anymore.
Well, I haven't decided what I'm going to get you yet. Get him for Christmas yet. He's already got everything.
Doesn't need anything anymore.
Well, I haven't decided what I'm going to get you yet. What about me?
You'll see.
Ooh, a lot of fun you are. You're supposed to tease me, give me hints, make me guess, you know.
Does it bother you?
What?
Walking around in circles.
Oh, look, that's terrible.
It's not hurting anyone.
Neither are we. Oh, God. Every time I see one of them,
what do you think?
Every time I see one of those old guys, I always think the same thing.
What do you think?
I always think that he was once somebody's baby boy. I think he was once somebody's baby boy, and he had a mother and a father who loved him, and now there he is, half dead on a park bench, and where are his mother or his father, all his uncles now? Anyway, that's what I always think.
I always think how when they had the newspaper strike.
This year, for our 20th anniversary, Swoney is moving online. June 6th to June 20th, Swoney Peripopolo presents
Yves Charuet,
Tommy Davis,
Quattro Budini,
Ivan Trio,
Silver Vest,
Key Evill,
Cheryl Duval and Alicia Poirier,
No High Banda,
and much more. Streaming Strange Sounds, June 6th to June 20th, www.swoneyperipopolo.org.
Hello. Hello.
Thank you.
Of the 1974 film The Conversation, and I think we can listen to that without totally giving you spoilers for the film if you haven't seen it, but Harry Call, a wiretapper, is consoling himself with his saxophone there, and as well as tearing apart his apartment. Hi, this is If You Got Ears on CKT. We're talking about conspiracies, starting with 70s conspiracy movies, the score for The Conversation is by a guy named David Shire, and he did a lot of stuff, including he's the composer for Night on Disco Mountain from Saturday Night Fever. He did a couple instrumentals for Saturday Night Fever, which are pretty fun. The Conversation is a good movie for sound nerds. It's has a lot of Walter Murch sound design, who's sort of often mentioned named in film sound design. This is also his pick, I believe this is his first gig as a picture editor. Also, one of the things that's unusual about the way this film was made is that a lot of the score was written beforehand, and the director, Francis Ford Coppola, would play back the soundtrack on big speakers in rehearsals and between takes and stuff, so the actors could absorb the feeling of the music. And this seems like a good idea, but almost no one else has bothered trying it. Here's another American composer, Michael Small, did a bunch of conspiracy movie scores: Clute, Parallax View, Star Chamber. Here, though, we're going to hear something from Marathon Man, which is a thriller, but the least sort of conspiracy-ish of probably the thrillers that he did, but it has probably the better music, so let's hear that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Tacoma from 1978. This is a score from Jerry Goldsmith. This is probably one of my favorite conspiracy movies, 70s conspiracy movies, about a hospital that kills people and to take their organs. I don't think I've given away much by saying that. It's an early Michael Crichton movie. Before that, music from Marathon Man by Michael Small. Not so much a conspiracy movie as a mystery thriller with the Nazi undertones. Hi, this is If You Got Ears on CKT. We're talking about conspiracies, and in particular right now, 70s conspiracy movies, but later we will get on to real conspiracies like, apparently the Earth is flat and everyone's covering it up, something like that. But on, I have another Jerry Goldsmith track. I have a bad habit of whining about Jerry Goldsmith because he's everywhere, and so much of it just sort of, it's just sort of the same sort of swoopy string thing that immediately makes music sound like a soundtrack, but otherwise just middle of the road. And but I should stop whining because he's written a bunch of scores that I like, and he worked on a bunch of movies that I like. Alien is quite nice. What else has he done that's any good? He did the original Planet of the Apes, which has a lot of weird kind of instruments and fun stuff in it. Here, though, is something, another conspiracy movie, Capricorn 1 from, is this also from 78? What's the date on Capricorn 1, anybody? 1978. The conspiracy this time is that the United States is supposed to fly to Mars, but then fakes it. This is before the moon landing being fake was like a popular meme, but we'll get to that, too. Here, though, from Jerry Goldsmith, a nice sort of horn piece of the main titles for Capricorn 1.
Not a very good one, but it's a chance. Who knows about this? Almost nobody. Houston is monitoring the actual flight. All the telemetry is coming from the command module. So are your voices and the medical data. We recorded everything from the practice simulations. They don't know. All we need from you is the actual television transmissions during the flight and the Mars landing. That's all. Just the television transmissions.
That's all. Just the television transmissions.
We inserted a change in the onboard computer so the spacecraft will land 200 miles off target when it returns to Earth. You'll be flown to an island near that point. From there, you'll be transferred to a helicopter. The helicopter will fly you to the space capsule, and you'll be put inside. It'll take the recovery forces a minimum of an hour and a half to reach the splashdown site. By then, you will be inside the capsule. When the prime recovery carrier arrives, they'll find you inside the capsule and take you out of the spacecraft.
You've thought of everything.
I don't know. I hope so.
Of course, you're sure we'll go along, right?
No, I'm not.
What if we say no?
I don't know. Don't say no.
This is really wonderful. But we go along with you and lie our asses off in the world of truth and ideals is protected. But we don't want to take part in some giant ripoff of yours, and somehow or other we're managing to ruin the country. You're pretty good, Jim. I'll give you that.
No, no, no. You're twisting my words.
Don't sell yourself short.
Don't sell the program short.
Don't oversell it. I'm not so sure that canceling a flight or cutting off appropriations means America folds up.
It's not as simple as that, and you know it.
I don't know it. If the only way to keep something alive is to become everything I hate, I don't know if it's worth keeping it alive.
Please, Brew, don't talk like that.
What the hell's the matter with you? Please, Brew, don't talk like that. I don't think this is right. All the rest is bullshit.
You have to help.
What do you mean, I have to?
You have to help.
Well, what if I don't?
Please, don't put me in a corner.
You're crazy. You know that? You know that? You're crazy. You've got us in the middle of this nut house, and you don't want to be put in a corner?
Your families.
What about our families?
Please, you have to help.
What about our families?
You have to help. Oh, shit, this thing is out of my hands. You think it's all a couple of loony scientists. It's not. It's bigger. There are people out there, forces out there, who have a lot to lose. They're grown-ups. It's gotten too big. It's in the hands of grown-ups.
What about our families?
They're flying back from the Cape to Houston. They're all together on the plane.
No, you're not serious.
Please, Brew, don't make me.
You son of a bitch, tell me.
They're on the plane together, goddammit. You want it in writing? There's a device. It's on the plane, too. There's some people. If I don't give them the all-clear signal, they'll explode it. Don't you understand? It doesn't have to be like this. You have to help. It's gotten out of control. It's too big.
You wouldn't. Tell me you wouldn't.
I can't tell you that, Brew.
Hal Ulrich there of threatening the lives of three astronauts in Capricorn 1. But a fake Mars landing. This is not his first, was not his first conspiracy gig. He's also Deep Throat in All the President's Men. He's the guy who says, follow the money. Before that, the title music from Capricorn 1 from Jerry Goldsmith. So into, that's it for the 70s conspiracy movie fun. And we spent a little bit of time on conspiracy theories. I tried very hard to find experimental music that deals with conspiracy theories, and there's not that much. Usually it's not too hard. Usually every ridiculous premise you can think of has some piece of experimental music about it, but this was a little bit harder. So I could not find, for example, a piece of experimental music that deals with the moon landing being a conspiracy, being fake, being a conspiracy that was covered up. But of course, this is all over the internet and all over everywhere else. I found it weirder. Some of it's just too much to play, and I won't kind of refuse to play it. It's a little bit too, I don't know what, but I'm going to have to apologize for one of the things I play, but we'll get to that. Here, though, is an excerpt from a documentary, a really far out documentary called Room 237. It's not about the moon landing. It's a documentary about The Shining and about all the hidden messages in The Shining. In particular, this excerpt suggests that Kubrick faked the moon landing in 1969, and he put hints in The Shining as a confession.
My interpretation of The Shining is that there's many levels to this film. This is like three-dimensional chess, and he's trying to tell us several stories that appear to be separate but actually are not. And he's doing this both through the overt script that he wrote. He's telling it through tricks of the trade, the subliminal imagery, and these constant retakes giving him odd angles and things. And he's also telling you through the changes that he made to the Stephen King novel. So if you watch those three things, you begin to understand this deeper story. And this deeper story has its birth, I guess, in the idea that Stanley Kubrick was involved with faking the Apollo moon landings. In fact, I contend that 2001 Space Odyssey, in part, was a research and development project for the Apollo footage that was shot. I'm not saying we didn't go to the moon. I'm just saying that what we saw was faked, and that it was faked by Stanley Kubrick. And I've had Hollywood special effects people from the 60s and 70s who were front screen projection experts tell me that I absolutely have nailed the Apollo footage as being the result of front screen projection. Just go to any Apollo site and look, and you'll see that they have to hide the bottom of the screen, and you can always see the set screen separation line in every Apollo footage, every Apollo image, and the video footage that has a background. And Richard Hoagland, the researcher, has looked into the Apollo imagery, and he has found all sorts of problems with it, because in the sky around the astronauts, he's found reflecting lights and refracting things and kind of a junk and geometry and things that are in the sky. And he concluded, wrongly, that there are gigantic alien cities made out of glass. What he's really saying is the reflections of light off the tiny beads on the Scotch light screen, which is being used in the front screen projection process. And so once I nailed the front screen projection process inside the Apollo footage, then I became interested in seeing if Kubrick left any clues in the rest of his career to his possible involvement in faking the Apollo moon footage. And I was overjoyed about 2 years ago when I received my Blu-ray copy of The Shining, and I put it in my Blu-ray machine and sat down one night to watch it, and I realized that all of the things that one could imagine that Stanley Kubrick would have had to go through to fake the Apollo moon footage, and there in the movie, every time that Stanley deviated from the Stephen King novel, he deviated into those exact questions. You know, what was it like to make a deal with the U.S. government? What was it like to accidentally tell someone what you were doing and to watch them possibly have to suffer the consequences of your lack of integrity? What was it like to lie to your wife and tell her that you were doing one thing when you were doing another? What was it like when your wife found out what you were really doing? These are the questions that I had long before I'd seen The Shining again after maybe an 8 or 9 year absence. And I wasn't sure I was right for the first hour. I wasn't sure that I had actually You know, I wasn't sure if I was blurring the line between what I wanted to see and what I was seeing. And then at about 58 minutes in the film is the famous scene where Danny's playing with his trucks and he stands up and he's wearing the Apollo 11 sweater with a rocket taking off. Then I knew I had nabbed it. And then I started watching the film with an intensity that I don't think I've ever watched a movie before. And every line began ringing true. You know, Wendy, that is just so typical of you. Don't you know I have obligations to my employers? Do you have any idea what a contract is? Do you know what an agreement is? Jack Nicholson's whole tirade against his wife, that's Stanley. That's Stanley telling his wife that, you know, after she discovered what he was doing, which was the Apollo footage. That's actually not true. If you call the Mount Hood Resort and you ask for room 217, you will find there is no such room. So that's just not true. That statement's not true. And so Stanley was lying. You know, it's not the reason that he changed the room number from 217 to 237. The reason that he changed it from 217 to 237 was because the room 237 in the film represents the moon landing stage where he worked. And the moon, the standard science textbooks said, and they still say, but now with lasers we've gotten a little better reading, but is that the mean distance of the moon from the Earth is exactly 237,000 miles. So he changed that so that you would understand that this was the moon room. So Danny stands up. He's got the Apollo 11 sweater on. He begins walking down the hallway towards room 237, and there's a key in the lock, and on the key is the words room and then the word NO, which is an old acronym for number, so room number 237, except that the only capital letters on the key are ROOM and then the N from the acronym NO. And if there's only two words that you can come up with that have those letters in them, and that's moon and room. And so on the key, the tag, it says moon room. And that is the moon room. This is where everything happens, and none of it's real. And it all has to be lied about. And you can't let anyone know what's really going on in room 237. And there's many, many other deviations from the book to the movie.
It isn't real.
The deviations drove Stephen King out of his mind. He just ranted and ranted for years how much he hated The Shining, and he hated it because he'd given Kubrick all this great source material, and Kubrick threw it out. And the whole idea of this is best exemplified by the scene where Dick Halloran is driving up the highway trying to get to the Overlook during a winter storm, and he passes a wreck. And in the wreck, a semi has crashed and crushed a red Volkswagen. And this is a direct message from Kubrick to King, because in the novel, Jack Torrance's car is a red Volkswagen, but in the movie, it's a yellow Volkswagen. And what Kubrick is saying in that scene is a big F you to Stephen King. He's saying, this is my vehicle, I have wrecked your vehicle,